Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. I have a wonderful top 10 list of 2025 for you. Well, my name is Ian, and welcome to the Game Table Podcast slash, you know, top 10 list today. And so, again, my name's Ian. Jared is not here today because I am doing a top 10 list of 2025. I do want to specify here for a second, before we get too far, is that, one, thank you for joining us, but two, one, we had a little bit of an issue with the recording. We had an issue with the recording, so one, that's why you won't see the normal episode this week. So we're going to do a little bit of a different story here. I'll be doing this top 10 list, and our normal episode will resume next week after the new year. So again, we had a little bit of a recording issue. We had some traveling, so much going on this time of year. And so that's why I am doing this top 10 list. Not that because I really kind of wanted to do one anyway, but this is an opportunity to kind of talk about what happened this year because our episode sadly, very so sadly, was unusable. So we had to pivot. So thank you so much for joining me in this wonderful episode. These are games that I have played this year, not necessarily came out this year. Some did come out this year, but I cannot keep up with so many games that come out from year to year. So this will be just games that come out or that I've played this year because I can't keep up with all the games that come out every year. So thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. Well, let's kind of get to it. We're going to start with honorable mentions because, one, there's just too many games. So we'll start somewhere. So to start somewhere, I have some honorable mentions for the year of 2025 that I personally played that I really enjoyed and I think are really, really good games. One absolutely did not come out this year was Everdell. It's actually, I think this year or the end of last year was when I actually played Everdell for the first time. Everdell is a beautiful, just cute, tableau building, city building, card game, worker placement as well. And Everdell's great. If you've not heard of Everdell, I'm late to the party, so maybe you're not. But Everdell was great. Really enjoyed it, and my wife Julia loved it as well. So that was kind of the biggest thing amongst all that is that my wife enjoyed it. So Everdell. Next one is Rock Hard 1976. So one, you know, we've talked about Rock Hard on this podcast before. That game is just so fun. You get to become a musician in, you know, the age of rock, and you go on tour. You build your, you know, work your day job or night job while trying to pay for the studio and create an album and all those things. Great game. We reviewed it, so check it out. Next thing, going down the trail of music, I Made You a Mixtape. Also reviewed it this year. First time I played it, great little game, little card drafting. I choose, you pick game. Excellent. It has a bunch of real song titles inside the game. Excellent. And then Spooktacular, another one that we reviewed on this podcast. Excellent game. I was thoroughly surprised and scared of that game. And I just love all the different characters that you can play inside and trying to haunt all these people inside of a movie theater. So, honorable mentions. Let's get those out of the way. Let's hop right into the main games of 2025 that I have enjoyed. And again, these are not games that are all came out, but these are games that I've thoroughly enjoyed. And I actually am doing 10 through 1 here. So I have them ranked, and I probably will change this rank at some point in my life. But this is what I've enjoyed this year so far. And so I'm the grading on this is, you know, 10 through 9. Basically, out of these games, these are the top 10 games that I really enjoyed. And, you know, where do I rank those games on far as enjoyment for the year? How many times I played them is definitely going to be matter here. But also how many times, you know, how much fun did I have while playing it? Oh, let's start out with Yokohama. Yokohama, great game. Great game. And this game, excellent. Design. This came out a while ago, but overall, like, it's just a game that has kind of stood the test of time. There's a new version out, and the new version is okay. The new version is by Synapse Games. So there's that. So the Synapse Games put this production on. There was an older edition well before that, but Synapse has this one, and they have an expansion coming out next year. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. You're a merchant in Yokohama traveling through and trying to build up your kind of prestige amongst the city as a merchant. And so you're going, it's kind of a strange worker placement in a way of you have this president that you're moving around the board, triggering all the different actions, but you also have like little like associates or assistants moving around that board as well, trying to build up. And the more people or power you have in a location, the stronger the action is. Excellent. There's just so many past victories in this game. It is endless. And, you know, this is a game that we'll probably talk about on this podcast at some point in an actual review. But there's just so much to do in a turn, like, or in a game. Like, there's so many routes to victory. Where do I go? What do I do? What's the path that I'm choosing? It's just endless possibilities. So Yokohama is on the list at number 10. Next is Harvest. So Harvest, one, is adorable. It's fun. It's easy to teach and to play. And it has absolutely stunning artwork. And that's by Keymaster Games, if you've not heard of Harvest. This did come out in 2024, but I didn't get my copy until 2025, so I was able to play it. Harvest. Again, you're a farming animal of some kind that you are tending to your farmland to harvest vegetables, or you're harvesting goods or crops to sell at the end of the year. And so what you're doing is you're building up either some buildings to help you harvest different crops. And again, you're these cute little creatures kind of flowing around and moving. It's a worker placement, and you're moving your pawn around to different locations of the town to take specific actions, such as, you know, getting fertilizer, filling up your water bucket, all these different things. And again, you're these cute little creatures. And so you are, you know, like a wolf or a frog or like the rabbit. I forget the names of the characters, but they all have names and they're all have really good abilities. Again, everybody has their own ability, which is awesome. And also like there's just so many paths to victories. There's different types of crops that you can go for. You can go for the pumpkins, which are really, really valuable, but they take a lot longer to fertilize and grow. Or you can do something like just the wheat or strawberries and blueberries. Those are a lot cheaper, but they don't give you as many points. So many paths to victories. Again, this is a you know, building out, you know, your farm and you're kind of building up this mass stack of hay. I just imagine me being, you know, I don't know. There's a beaver and all he likes to do is chop down all the trees. Again, this game is just so cute and adorable, and I love it. I was thoroughly surprised by this one. Harvest, again, by Keymaster Games. It just gives you so much to do in a game, and it doesn't take very long. It's 30 to 60 minutes, 1 to 4 player. It's like, it's the definition of what, you know, gamers want in a semi, you know, moderate timing of a game, a length of a game, but also gives you a great balance between strategy and depth within that time frame. And so there's so many decisions to be made in a game like this, and I think it's just an absolute just eloquent design, really, really well done. And again, it's not going to blow your mind as far as strategic paths, but you're just given so much in a game like this. So that's Harvest, which is number 9. So there you go. Number 8, we're counting down, which is why we're going to count down. Ready, set, bet. Ready, set, bet. We've talked about this. Absolutely amazing party game. I received it. So this one does count as a game this year for me, because I got my Kickstarter exclusive. And that game, I mean, it just, the High Roller Edition is fantastic. It's got all these massive pieces and board and like actual poker chips, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the game itself, I also played at the end of last year going into this year, and oh my gosh, what a great party game. You know, you're betting, it's a horse betting game. And so the horses are racing a lifetime either via somebody, you know, I will oftentimes, I'll roll the dice for the horses and you move the horses along the track. Or you can have the app, pull it up on the TV or a laptop and have the app basically just move the horses and you're betting on a horse race in live time, which is really, really cool. And so you're throwing these chips out, betting on the race as you go, trying to predict a winner, trying to react in the last second, and you gain these abilities to do certain things throughout the game. But overall, like, you're trying to bet on the horse race and who do you think is going to win. At the end of the game, whoever has the most money wins, and, you know, such as betting. And then you go and lose it all in the next race. So, again, this is, it's, you know, I bet very little in my life as an individual in sports. I don't bet a lot, but this gives me an opportunity to have a little fun. And anybody that actually does bet, they also love this game. They think it's just fun. Just to, okay, let's just throw money away. So again, if you're into sports, if you're into, even if you're not, I think this is just a really funny game. The rowdiness that happens in a game of this is quite fun. Everybody's just hooping and hollering and yelling at the TV screen as the horses like walk, you know, move across the screen. So, excellent game, really good party game. It's 2 to 9 players, and that one's by AEG as well. So, Actually, I don't as well. That's the only one I think on this list that will be from them. But anyway, I do love their game. So AEG, Ready, Set, Bet. Number 7. Well, number 7 is a wonderful game that we've talked about as well. This is a place for all of my books. And that's by Smirk and Dagger Games. And this one did come out this year. A place for all my books. You're organizing books inside your apartment, and you're an introvert, and you have to get up enough mental battery to go outside and buy books or go to the library or go to the park. And so you're building up this energy, storing it up when you're organizing all of your actual books. And the books are actually 3D wooden pieces, and you're stacking them. You're gaining points via types of stacks, organizing the stacks in different shapes, or putting all your blue romance books all together, whatever you want. There's just multiple ways to score based on you know, organization of the books inside your apartment. You'll gain points also by buying just a ton of books, which is what all book lovers want. And so that you go out of the stores and you collect some books from the library or the bookstore. You can also go to the knickknack store and get some nice cool stuff. Anyway, this game is what I would say is a cozy, delightful experience at the table. And again, it's so relaxing. This game has been the game of, or this year. This year has been full of great games, but this game in particular has been there for when I just want to relax and have a very chill gaming experience. This has provided it. Has come through. I don't know. It has stood the test of stress and allowed me to relax. And me and my wife love this one. You just sit at the table and just organize your books. It's great. So, anyway, that is a place for all my books by Smirk and Dagger, coming in at number 7. All right, number 6. Yes, number 6 is a game that came out many, many, many years ago. And it was picked up by outside of the U.S. company. I think it was a Chinese or an Asian company picked it up and brought it to Gen Con last year in efforts to have a game company pick it up, a U.S. distribution, which it did. And so, but I had the copy that was, was first pushing for U.S. distribution. Anyway, this game is called Lifeboats. And Lifeboats had been done by, I think Z-Man back in the day. And again, this company from Asia that picked it up last year. And that's the copy that I own. But they got Mayday Games to produce it. It was on Kickstarter not too long ago. And I think Mayday will continue to hold this game and sell it on their website or wherever else they sell their games. So Mayday Games is who will be making this. And it's called Lifeboats, like I said. So Lifeboats is a game well back in the, early, late 2000s that I remember. And so basically, you are pirates and pirateers on a ship trying to make it to the island without drowning or falling out or getting kicked off the boat. And again, it's kind of a social experiment game where everybody's voting for each other to either kick them off the boat or trying to create a mutiny. This game is incredibly mean. Really, really mean. You have to have the right group because you're all voting for each other, and many times people get eliminated very quickly, or they definitely lose all their guys. So a game that, again, you're just floating in these lifeboats across the board that are trying to get to the island, and you're literally just voting each other off the boat or kicking them off the boat, and they drown. So again, this is it's like 3-8 players or 3-7 players. I love this game at higher play counts. It is just chaotic and fun. It's so good. And again, it's mean, so don't take anything personally in this game because I don't. But it is just so funny. It is so funny. And honestly, it's got some really cool like mental games that you're playing with other people because you can play these cards to basically like, you know, I'm the captain for this round. And so there's things you can do to like control the vote, but everybody could play that card, and so you're trying to decide, okay, are they going to play that card, are they not going to play that card, who's the captain, who has the most majority, it is, and so you're figuring all these things out in your head as you're playing, and it's good stuff. It's a good game. It's a really, really good game, and I really enjoyed it this year. Another one that did kind of technically come out this year, it's a reprint, and it's just so much fun. It's really, really good. We are getting into the top five for this year. And the top five of this year, I had a hard time, honestly, deciding. Really, the top three could have been anything. but the next two, I could easily flip flop these. So that's what I'm trying to say. All right. Well, Tend by Ivy Studio. Tend is an amazing choose your own adventure explorer game. I don't even like it is so hard to define this game. Farm, explore, and fish in a cozy alien world. So you're a pioneer, and in this pioneer you have this board that you can choose your own adventure. You can be a fisherman, you can be a miner, you can be a lumberjack, you can be what else can you do? You can go to space. I don't know, like the endless. And each part of the board that you have these scratch offs with a metal coin that you actually scratch off. So if you're like play the lottery or, you know, the lottery ticket by the little scratch off cards, you're going to love this because you're scratching off the things that you're doing. So if you go into the mines, you scratch off a little box for the mine and just figure out what you find inside the mine. All of these things, like there's so much of those, but there's also a ton of dice. These dice are huge. They have little dice, big dice, all really chunky, really quality components. This is a Kickstarter Ivy Studio, so it has amazing components. But again, you're completing for badges and objectives all through this thing that you kind of just explore. And same thing, like when you go fishing, you like scratch the little thing or roll some dice and see what kind of, you know, fish you hooked. And again, all of these options, it's a game that has endless combinations on where I'm going and how am I going to win this game? How do the points I get? Honestly, this game could be higher. I only played it once. And it was a long game because we just had a lot of people. So I got a very thorough experience, and I watched another gameplay. So I would like to play this again. This could have been at the top of the list if I had played it again. But I had an amazing experience. It is very much like a solo game. I would play this between 2 to 3 player because there's just so much like it. Again, it's all happening in front of you. You kind of wait for everybody to finish their turn before you flip like the new cards out. So what actions people can take. But like overall, it's pretty solo. I would say 2 to 3 players is an excellent game for this. So to be continued on this one. Really, really fun. Again, if you like scratch offs or anything like that, it's got a whole stack of cards. Like the whole game is just a scratch off. It's mind blowing. Really good. Really good work by Ivy Studio. So, all right. Number four. This one, like I said, 4 and 5 are interesting. This is kind of another game that I only played once, and this one hit the list literally because I played it last week, and it was that good, and I was really, really impressed with this game, and I would rank this really high. Maybe I need to play more to figure out the faults with it. I think there were a few, but like overall, this game is called Bat Flip Dynasty, and it is by Scorelander Games. And the designer is Scott Corlander. So Scorelander Games by Scott Corlander. So we were given a copy of this, I loved this game. And so let me explain it real quick. So basically, you're taking over a baseball franchise, and you're building a dynasty team. And so there's a deck of cards, like this high. It is huge, massive deck. And you shuffle those cards, and everybody at the table drafts. It's a card drafting game, and you draft a team. And so you draft a team, and you play through 4 seasons or 5 seasons, something like that. That's how long it normally takes. You play until you get so many championships, depending on how many players you have, but you got to win a certain amount of championships. So you play a regular season and a postseason. And so when you play the regular season, whoever has like the most points and gets a win or gets a championship win and or gets a trophy, their trophies. Whoever gets them has the most trophies wins. But you play through that, and then you play through the playoffs. And it's funny, when you play through the playoffs, you're like rolling all these dice, trying to like just get wins and outduel your opponents to get to the top, to get the playoff trophy. And again, it's a card drafting game of all the players, and they have all the positions, catcher through pitcher through outfield, infield. And some are like star players, like they all have really, really, really good stats, or they give you a lot of points. And then, you can't have multiple of the same position, unless it's pitchers. You can have a bunch of pitchers. And anyway, you're just building this team, and it's really interesting because you like lose players and you have to pay them with money. And so again, it's like this whole concept of like when you draft your players, you have so much money. So like, say your team, they're not in a real MLB teams. They're fantasy teams, but they all have absolutely amazing names, and you get a team with a manager, and they all have really funky abilities. And then you draft the players, and you have to pay them the money. Each club only gets so much money, so you have to use your money wisely. And then whenever you kind of run out of money, you have to cut some players and move on and draft new ones. You draft new players every round, so you're always kind of cycling through. And this game was so fun because I was doing so poorly in the first game, like the first 2 seasons that we played. And again, you kind of just keep playing until somebody gets enough trophies. And so like the first 2 seasons, I had like one trophy, because I got just like enough wins to like make the playoffs. And then I started building this. I got this like rookie prospect that he played in the minors, and then he kind of got kicked up to the majors, to my team, and he was just balling out for me. And so then I was able to build a team around him. I know that sounds like, that's definitely not exactly how the game plays. I'm overselling it a little bit, but it was did feel like that. It felt like I drafted, one of the Derek Jeter onto my team as a prospect, and he came through the minors and joined my team on a rookie contract, and I spent all my money everywhere else. That's what it felt like. I'm not kidding you. So this game was awesome. I really enjoyed this one. It would probably be higher too if I played it more. But again, this one was really good. So, Bat Flip Dynasty by Scorelander Games. That one you can buy off their website. It's hard to find elsewhere right now, but you can buy it off his website. So if you're looking into that. All right, top three. Here we go. And this could have been in any order. Bat Flip Dynasty did come out this year, just so everybody knows. All right. Top three. This was challenging to the order of this. I feel pretty good about it, and I might change it at the last second, but I feel good about it. So anyway, number three. This game did not come out this year. It's Heat, Pedal to the Metal. There was two expansions though. One that did come out this year. I played so much Heat this year, more than ever before, and I enjoyed it more and more, and I keep enjoying it, and it keeps getting better. And it's like I enjoy the game more as I play it. I play a game and I'm like, wow, I've been playing this game a lot. Let me play again. And I have played this game. I played a whole tournament this year. That was awesome. To play through all those, play with the expansion cards, play with multiple racers, like all of the things. The only thing I haven't done is play up to 8 players yet. That is one thing on the list. So maybe when we get there next year, I'll have played with 8 players, but who knows? All right. Well, there's Heat. I'm not going to talk more about Heat because everybody knows about that one. So I've enjoyed it, though. Great, great game. Number three this year. Played a lot of it. Number two. This is where we get really challenging, all right? Six, Siege, the board game. I know this has been a saga. And I tell you what. This was a Mythic game disaster. You want to know more about this, look at our, like, way back of our end of year review of 2024 or something like that, and I'm sure I'm ranting about it somewhere. But again, Six Siege, the board game, came out as Mythic Games, and it is going to be, this is another one that was grabbed by somebody else at one point or another. The thing about it is that I have the Mythic Games one, but there are going to be, it is technically going to be available for somebody else or by somebody else. Let me take a look here. Well, okay, so this one is going to be taken over by somebody else. It's going to be Steamforged Games is taking over the base game stuff. And I believe they had some expansions as well. Anyway, Mythic Games messed up. The Kickstarter was really bad. I didn't know if I was ever going to receive my game, and Jared, with the absolute just elite tier Christmas gift last year, gave me this game. He found a copy somehow, and I feel like he might have stole it, but he won't tell me. I was able to play this game. This game, for how much just stupidity that happened throughout this game's journey, the game is actually really good, and I really, really enjoyed it. So one, if you like the video game or any Tom Clancy stuff, the very tactical miniatures game, you're moving around this compound trying to defuse a bomb if you're the attackers. If you're the defenders, you're trying to defend the bomb that you've planted. And so the attackers are trying to break into the building. They have all these gadgets. They have different guns. Every operator has a different gun, and you're using different, like, really, I mean, it feels like the video game so much. If you've, I was a video game lover of this. It's all about angles and quick peeking and using angles and cover very, very effectively. It feels so much. In this game, it is the same thing. The operators have different abilities, and you're able to use those abilities accordingly. Especially feels like a lot of the game itself, the video game, is really re-implemented into a board game. That does not happen very often, in my opinion, where they take a video game and make it truly feel like you are playing kind of an extension of that into a tabletop format. And they did that so well in this game, so well. My mind is blown, honestly, how much it feels like Rainbow Six, the video game. It is truly, it is a disgrace and a disappointment that the original project of this was just so much of a disaster. Especially, it was right after COVID, like COVID hit. So like, there's just so many things that went wrong that could have handled better in a better way. Overall, though, this game needs to be given more credit. And I hope the Steamforged games that can, you know, really push this one and make some, at least some base copies for people to pick up. Like, I don't even have all the expansions. They're not necessary. Like, the base game has plenty. And all the expansions are fine. That's a good for a Kickstarter. This game is really, really good. I really enjoyed it. I've played it five or six times, which is more than I thought I was going to get to the table this year. Every time I've enjoyed it, it's come down to the wire. It's usually a 2v2 or a 1v1 battle. Excellent work by the teams in this one. I mean, they designed a really, really good game. And it was, you know, stamp of approval by Ubisoft. Ubisoft is the video game company. They had the stamp of approval on all the operators. Like, they're all real. They got all official artwork from the game, and like, it's really legit. And unfortunately, you know, it was hard to find for a bit. I think it's going to be a little bit more prominent here coming up. So, Six Siege, the board game. Excellent game. I really enjoyed it this year. All right, that was number two. Number one. Well, it is called Botoku. Botoku is my favorite game that I have played this year. And that game is done by Devir. Devir Games is one that has really shown up in the last year for me. I didn't have a lot of their games. And, you know, we talked about Rock Hard already. That was a Devir game. Potoku is you are becoming the next great spirit of the forest, exploring and helping lost souls throughout the forest. This is a Japanese themed game of lore and you know, the Potokus and the yokai of their culture and the culture of their of the forest creatures and spirits, and just all of putting it all into this really dynamic theme. It is an absolute beautiful board where you're using this kind of combination of area influence or majority dice and a dice like you don't roll the dice, but you use them, use the sides to show strength of your value of your die. There's some hand management along with kind of deck building in a way. And like I said, it kind of area control. There's just so many different routes of victory, which seems like a theme of 2025 for me. Routes to victory. How many paths to victory can I make? If it has the most amount of paths to victory, I'm probably going to like it. That seems to be a theme throughout this list. This one, it is endless. You can go and send your pilgrims to on a pilgrimage and explore the path of the spirits and gain points that way. Or you can build your Potoku card track and build out these, you know, massive set of all the different Potokus, and you score points that way. Or you can get into like these really massive hands of yokai cards and you know, build them up and, you know, trash them and get a bunch of points. Or you can just manipulate the board and on, you know, the main scoring board and get spirits and dragonflies. It is just endless. I'm doing a horrible job of explaining this game. This one did come out in 2021. It's a little older, but it's, I finally played it this year. I think it's finally getting some traction. It's just a heavy game. It's a really heavy game. There's a lot to do in a game, and it's hard to teach. So it's not the most user-friendly for beginners, but it just offers so much depth for people, and I think it's just an excellent design, beautiful artwork on the board, the cards, the player boards, the dice, everything. I mean, just every token, it was thoroughly thought through on the art that they wanted to use. Even like the turn markers are like just beautiful. Like there's nothing ugly about this game. Like every piece is beautiful. Like every piece, it's crazy. Honestly, it's a little excessive. And for the price point and for everything, this is a highly, highly underrated game in my opinion. I mean, it is rated 7.8 on BGG. And it is just so cool. It's a really cool game. Even the box art is so awesome. This game is just, it's just pretty. There's no other way of putting it. It is just pretty, and it is really, really fun. Make sure if you do play this for the first time that somebody that knows what they're doing teaches you, because it's a lot. It's a lot to teach. So overall, excellent game. That is my number one game that I've played this year. Honestly, Six Siege could easily, any of the top three could have, honestly, any of these on the list could be there if I played them more, maybe towards the back of the list where I didn't get as many plays, but Potoku I played many times, and definitely, like, the more I play it, the more I want to play it. I know that's kind of redundant, but the more times I've gotten it to the table makes me enjoy it even more, and it makes me want to get it right back to the table. And it is just a really strong game. So that's number one. So Yokohama, number 10, Harvest, Ready, Set, Bet, Place for All My Books, Lifeboats, Tend, Bat Flip Dynasty, which is a surprise, Heat, Pedal to the Metal, and R6 Siege, the board game, at number two, Potoku at number one. Again, that is by Devere, and you can purchase it, any of these games either on their websites or look on BGG or any of your normal shopping, board game shopping websites or Amazon. I don't know, wherever you would like to shop for games. But overall, thank you so much for watching this episode, this special edition of my end of year top 10 favorite games that I've played this year, with a few honorable mentions as well. If you want to know more about the podcast or about any of the games that we play, please follow us on our socials. You can follow us on BGG as well. You can find us there. You can look up our website at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com, or you can email us at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com. All of these are just, I love it when you guys do that. So please do that. And really, if you want to listen to this podcast, please follow us in any of your podcast player of choice. Those episodes are all audio format only. You can listen and watch or listen to those on those. And you can follow us on YouTube and watch the content as you were doing right now. So thank you. These are always things that we enjoy and we love about our listeners and viewers. Well, again, so much. Thank you so much for watching. And again, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty going into this week and into the holidays. Everybody's traveling, and Jared and I were traveling, and we had a technical issue. The episode was unusable and unwatchable. So thank you so much for following me and listening to this episode and watching this episode, whatever, however you're watching it. But thank you so much. And I really wish everyone a happy new year going into this year of just fun. We're going to kind of see what this year brings and what the upcoming years bring. But really, this year is just, we're going to kind of just wait and see where this goes in life and also in this podcast. So thank you so much. And we welcome you into this new year. So happy 2026. That's scary to say, but we're gonna go with it. So thank you so much for being here. Happy New Year, everyone, and thank you for watching.